back at Pleasant Street Tea Company now with the story behind the recipe with Heather Atwood. And you haven't had any recipes lately.
I know. I haven't had any recipes. And
but you have stories, but no recipes.
Exactly. And I think that's because I am doing more stories for The Other Cape. Mm-hmm. And I'm not focusing as much on food. I mean, the food is always around me. Mm-hmm. But actually writing down recipes and reporting recipes, I'm not doing that much of that.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's get to it then. What are some of the things that you were working on at The Other Cape?
Well, there are a couple of new stories posted, and I love these stories. They are all about springtime on Cape Ann. They are farming stories. The first story I wrote, it's about a young farmer, a brand new farmer. This is his first year farming. His name is Alex Caccinelli. And some people out there may know Alex as for his fame on a skateboard. There are a couple of YouTube videos out there of him, like, you know, cruising the steps in Danvers and the skateboard park in Newburyport. He's a pretty good skateboarder. But he is also trying his hand at farming. He loved farming ever since, or growing things ever since he was a little kid. And there's another farmer named Tucker Smith of Cedar Rock Farms in West Gloucester. Tucker got a little bit overwhelmed by farming and the seedling business, and he decided to only go into the seedling business, and he handed his farm to Alex. So Alex is doing it this year. He has a CSA with 35 people in it, and he's kind of nervous, but he's also a real farming intellectual. He reads a lot of books about farming, and he's really plunged himself into this, and he loves it.
What are some of the things that are farmed in this area? I mean, we don't do tobacco, and we don't do...
No, we don't do tobacco. Well, we do a lot of kale. We do a lot of cabbages. We grow almost everything. Those guys can grow everything with the greenhouse playing around. You know, the season is definitely short, and the soil is tricky. You've got to... I think it needs a lot of lime, probably. This kid, Alex, sent his soil off to the testing service, and he came back that he has Boxford silt loam. That's the official name of his soil. So, but you asked me what people grow. There's a lot of kohlrabi. Kohlrabi.
No, wait a minute. I know what kale is. I've learned that in the last year. So what's...
Kohlrabi is this vegetable. It looks like it's a pale green, kind of hard vegetable. Maybe it's oval with sprouts coming out of it.
You're making that up.
I am not making it up.
You are.
And I bring up kohlrabi because I love vegetables. You should see my refrigerator now. My refrigerator is always full of vegetables. But kohlrabi I do not have. And I have to say, a lot of people complain about the kohlrabi because it's hard to find a good recipe for it. You can slice it really, really thinly and put it in a salad. But this is a thing you have to work to find something to do with, as opposed to a gorgeous tomato or gorgeous ear of corn. So these farmers grow a lot of kohlrabi.
So it tastes like a radish?
And it's not as spicy as a radish, but yes, it's cool and hard that way. Okay. Yes, exactly. So, but they grow a lot, these farmers, and beautiful, beautiful greens in the spring. You know, all the lettuces are coming in pretty soon, and spinach, and there is nothing better than those things.
All right. I think you mentioned in our pregame warm-up something about, was there a business also that you were mentioning? Was a couple of people somewhere else that you're doing in the other Cape?
Yes. That's a new story. It hasn't been printed yet. Oh, wait. No, I have to go back to the other farmer. The other farmer is a young woman named Sophie Corser, and she farms with Noah Kellerman at Alprilla Farm. And Sophie is also, we found out, an exquisite writer. She is an absolutely beautiful writer, and she wrote this beautiful piece about seeds. The title of the piece is The Start of Everything. And she goes into just really, really poetic and scientific detail about seeds and the seeds that they're using at Alprilla Farm and the beautiful names they come with and the sort of the love affair farmers have with seeds and how they have those seed catalogs, you know, rattling around in their trucks all winter long and padding their bathroom floors all winter long. It's a great piece. People should really seek that out.
And where would we find that?
That is on the Other Cape also.
Okay.
Yeah,
excellent.
That is it's by Sophie Corser, and it is entitled The Start of Everything.
Okay. All right, do we have anything else related to promoting the Other Cape?
Yeah, I'm just going to keep rattling through the promotion of the Other Cape,
Go for it. Yep.
So the next story I'm working on right now, and really I talk about this because it's interesting. I think on this show I've talked about Pigeon Cove Ferments. It's a young couple who have started making a local brand of sauerkraut. They're using Alprilla Farm cabbages and Atlantic Saltworks salt. Salt is an important part of sauerkraut. But they are sharing their kitchen with some other young people, two sisters who are just adorable, and they are making pierogi. They're making their grandfather's recipe, Jaju. It's called Jaju pierogi. They're from Western Massachusetts. The grandfather had a Polish store in Agawam, Massachusetts. It's still there, Winooski's, and the Winooski's make pierogi. These young girls went to college in Boston, and their mother would always supply them with a family pierogi, and all their friends would say, oh my gosh, where did you get these things? Where can I buy them? So they decided to quit their jobs after they graduated from college. They had jobs, and to start making their own pierogi. So they're making their grandfather's recipe and then a couple of sort of, you know, updated lines. And they are delicious.
I had a coworker when I was in college out at UMass. I've got a little story of my own. Mm-hmm. I worked with an older gentleman. He seemed older to me at that time, obviously, you know. He was a working man.
42.
Yeah. Late 40s, early 50s. But he was from Agawam, and he was a Polish gentleman. And a really nice guy. And I can only remember his first name was Merle. I can't remember his last name. But he lived in Agawam, and when his daughter got married, he invited me and my wife at that time to his daughter's wedding, a Polish wedding, and it was fantastic. And of course, there were pierogies.
And there must have been pierogies.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they might have been Winooski pierogies.
It could be.
Yeah.
And I have such a pleasant memory of that. He was so nice to us because I was only out there, you know, a couple of years for school, and I only worked at the First National out there for a while. But he was so nice, and I remember it was a fantastic Polish wedding.
Oh, that's a good memory.
It was cool, yeah. So that's pretty.
You need to go find the Jaju pierogi and rekindle all that.
Yes.
Right?
I thought we just did. Okay. Okay, you've baffled me with that other weird thing you mentioned, the fish vegetable or whatever.
Oh, the kohlrabi.
Kohlrabi, yeah.
I know. Yeah.
Okay.
But I hate to be disparaging of anything these farmers grow, because these farmers work so hard, and they have such a range. You know, then in the summer, the squashes, and the fall, the squashes. They grow so many things.
Do they participate in the farmer's market here in Cape Ann?
Yes, they do. And this young kid, the skateboarder, Alex, will be there. He's going to be sharing a tent with another farmer. By the way, his farm is called Iron Ox Farm, and that is named for the two-wheel tractor that he uses to farm his 1 acre. He has 1 acre. So he will be at Cape Ann Farmers Market with another young woman farmer plowing the Stars Farm.
Do you know when that starts, the farmers market?
They already had. They had a farmers market last weekend, actually, at the big fair that was at the high school. I think O'Malley. It was a sustainability fair. But I think the real farmers market outside at Stage Fort starts the end of June.
Okay. Anything else about the other Cape?
No. I'll stop there.
Okay. All right. So what about now? We've been talking. It's been kind of fun about the world's best dishes, and some of them I find. I can be disparaging about food. You can't, but I can.
No, yeah.
And some of them are very, very weird. Some of them are kind of cool. I think my favorite was potato chips, and the other one was ketchup. But where are we this week?
Well, you're going to really like 37 and 36.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we are. And I don't really have too much to say about them, but you're going to be really happy. 37 is chicken parmesan. Right?
Yes, yeah, lit me right up. Yes.
Exactly.
And the thing about chicken parm is I was introduced to veal parm at one time, and then my wife had the same look you just had, and we switched over to chicken parm, and I do love it, and it brings to mind a restaurant in Newburyport that I had a great meal at. I think it's the Grog, upstairs at the Grog.
Oh, yeah, the Grog.
Yeah, so chicken parm, I'm into it, yeah. And I like it, and I know it.
Okay, so we're going to frame 37.
Okay,
37 is a stellar number for you.
That's number one. Yeah.
Okay.
So far, except for chips and ketchup, that's number one for me.
Okay, we have the separate, there's the world's best dishes list, and then there's Rick Morris' best dishes list. Okay, so number 36, I think this is going to go down well with you too, Texas barbecue.
Now, you noticed I paused?
I can pause.
Yeah, you noticed that because it depends. I don't get into the spices too much. I don't get into chili. Now, my wife does.
Yeah.
And I actually don't.
She's Italian because she has sense.
Right. Yeah. Thank you. And I really don't. I'm not crazy about ribs, so I'm guessing Texas barbecue would be ribs and stuff?
Not always. Pulled pork.
Okay.
You know, a lot of pork. You can do a lot of barbecue with different kinds of pork.
Well, so. I lived in Texas during my high school years, and didn't get into. I went to a few rodeos, but I never learned how to ride. Scared of horses, and I never did the chili down there either.
And you don't like barbecue, or you're not?
No, I'm not crazy about it. And what was the other thing? I was. I don't know. There's something else that came to mind that goes with it as well. But
two-step dancing.
Yeah.
Did you do that?
No. I like to watch it. I like to watch it, but yeah. No, I can't do it. So, yeah, it's interesting, and I'm trying to think of what the other thing was. But, yeah, okay, so those are reasonable.
Yeah, they are, right? Yeah, well, yeah. The one is stellar for you, the chicken parm.
Absolutely.
But so you're just going to have to wait to see what 35 and 34 are.
Okay.
We'll see if they land on Rick Moore's list.
Oh, I know the other thing was a lot of Tex-Mex and Mexican food down there, and I never got into that either.
Too spicy.
Yeah.
I'm
totally vanilla.
Too close to the border there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I love that food. Love it.
Now, the other thing where you're working you know, with the magazine, the online magazine, do you what are some of the topics that that you necessarily cover?
Huh. Well, that's a really good question, because I think we do not necessarily cover anything, but we are looking for stories. Okay, we do not cover anything that would not make Cape Ann look like a wonderful place.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty easy to not do that, because, you know, we're not interested in, you know, news stories and upsetting news or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So it's really, we're looking to find the stories that are kind of special, kind of unique, and tell the world that this is a special, unique place.
And one of the things special is that Tulip Festival that's taking place on Saturday in Gloucester.
Isn't
that
beautiful?
It is.
I'm so happy about that. Yeah.
Well, I have
very mixed feelings about it, because, first of all, the work that went into that, the grant that rebuilt the wall, rebuilt the sidewalk, put in new lamps, new lighting, and so on, and the work that was done on the landscaping is A+. It's fantastic and really easy on the eyes. But on the other hand, you go across the bridge onto the island side, and that has been let go. And the railings are rotted, and they're rusting out, and it's only a matter of time before that will be condemned and closed off for a period of time. So I have very mixed feelings about how this, I don't know, I'm not going to blame anybody, but how this has been handled in the last 20 or 30 years or so, because it requires constant maintenance, it requires a lot of money, and you know, you don't have that in a city budget. But on the plus side, the mainland side where all this has been done looks incredible. I talked to Susan Kelly yesterday. Josh talked to her on Trending Now today about Generous Gardeners.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing the work now. And they planted over 22,000 tulips and over 9,000 other flowers.
I know. I mean, I think it's really, I think that part is just wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great
Absolutely.
Story. And I agree with you that, you know, to patch one, you know, make beautify one piece only to have the other be neglected is a sad part. But
well, I'm going to end this here. A long time ago in the school system, there was a superintendent who stopped maintenance on the schools, and instead what he applied was the Band-Aid approach. When something breaks, then we'll fix it. And that just doesn't make any sense. And so hopefully, you know, that won't happen with a new portion of the boulevard at any rate. But it's tough with these storms and stuff, the weather that we have.
Yeah. Well, I just hope that you're right. The storms are brutal, and that you see the Desi Smith photographs that, you know, are famously of kids dodging the waves there. But I just hope this picks up some energy and people kind of catch on to how, I know those flowers were expensive, but probably not that expensive in the grand scheme, and how a little bit of beauty can make people very happy and sort of energize the community a little
bit.
Well,
according to Susan, they raised money for that and bought the flowers, the Generous Gardeners did, so that apparently is not costing the city anything.
Right, exactly. No, I realize this year it's not, but maybe going forward
there might be a
fund. Or.
Yeah.
But it does a lot for the city. I mean, it does a lot for the community to have that kind of a project.
Okay. Kentucky Derby Day is Saturday, and they're having this bonnet festival, tulip festival. So do you have a bonnet all set, picked out?
Oh, of course. My bonnet is all ready to go.
Okay. All right. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
That's Heather Atwood with the story behind the recipe.